not exactly what I wanted, but it's, you guys see it, so.
We're trying to work it to where presenter view, so where I can see certain notes on my end, but you're just seeing the slides, and I can't seem to get that working, so. But anyways, well, I want to talk this morning about discernment, and I want to recognizing truth from deception. How many believe that we live in an age where you need to have discernment? I mean, you need to have discernment definitely spiritually, politically. You need to have discernment in every area of your life, financially. It's an age, it's an age of deception. And it's so much of an age of deception that Jesus said that it could deceive the very elected if it was possible. That's how close things are. So if it's like that in the spiritual, then how much more in the natural, right? And so that's what we want to talk about this morning. So let's just bow our heads real quick. Lord Jesus, we appreciate, Lord God, your word, Father. And thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity that you give us, Lord, to look at your word and to speak about it, Lord. And I pray that you'd bless us through your word, Lord God. And we just commit this time into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So in Hebrews 5:14, it says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age." I know you can't see that there, but I'm just reading it to you. "Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And I think it's very, very important in the hour that we live in that we just not take everything for face value.
Right.
You can't do that. You really can't do that. You have to be discerning. And sometimes people might think, well, your cup is always half full or whatever. What is it, half empty? Some people are made different. Some people look at people and their intentions in a different way. I think we should always give people the benefit of the doubt. However, in the age that we're living in, it's just so deceiving that you can't really do that, especially not online. So you can't do that with people online. So and so that's where we sort of want to tie it in. And in 1 John 4:1, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Amen. So the importance to discern, which discernment is one of the non-spiritual gifts. And I believe that God gives us all a level of discernment naturally, physically. But there are levels of discernment where they're higher than others just because it's a gift that's given to you. So it is a spiritual gift. So the importance of to discern what is true from false cannot be overstated. Because look how John says it here, "Beloved." He's not talking to the world. He's not talking to people who don't go to church. He's talking to Christians. Amen. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Amen. It's a commandment to all Christian believers to try every spirit. You have to be discerning of every spirit that comes, whether it's behind the pulpit or whether it's in your physical life. Amen. What is it that the people or this person is trying to bring out to me? You need to discern. Amen. And that's why it's so important for us to get in the Word. And to be in the Word and to know what the Word says so that you can discern what the brother behind the pulpit is saying, right? Or what the person you know that you're talking to is trying to tell you. Because there are people that are out there to push their own agendas. And they have ways to do it that they can get in your head so good that you... Everything that you learned all your life that you've been in the message, you'll be out there following that just like that because it sounds so good. And that's the exact reason why, you know, Eve was deceived, because whatever the Satan was trying to bring or the serpent was trying to bring to her, he got to her head. He made sure that he knew that she knew that he was a reliable source. And so that's why she was deceived. And it takes time. You know, discernment or people that deceive, usually the good ones are the ones who actually wait. And they take their time. They take their time with you. Those are the good ones. The ones that try to just come at you and ask you for money, can I have some money? Those are probably, most of us can probably not, you know, we can look at those and really discern those. But it's the ones that actually work with you and take time. Those are the ones. And that's how Satan works. Satan is not a fool. He takes time to work with people because he knows that eventually he'll be able to get them. Now, so how do we start discerning properly? And 1 Peter 5 says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, this is what we have to do. How to start discerning properly. First, you be sober. Amen? And sober is, I had the definition here in the notes, but it's knowing or being awake, being alert. You know, when you say, hey, he's sober, she's sober, that means they're not drunk, right? That means they're not under the influence of something else, but you are under the influence of the word. Amen? Be sober, right? Be alert. Be alert. Be vigilant. That's the next thing to do. That's what that it, which kind of means the same thing. You know, be vigilant, always looking out. It always reminds me of the people in the towers, you know, when they would look out, the lookouts, you know. They're always vigilant. Why? Because they're making sure that the enemy, amen, doesn't get too close to them, or they can see them way before the enemy gets near the towers, right? And so you don't want to wait until the enemy, amen, comes right there to you at your tower. He might not be in the gates yet of the kingdom, but if he just gets right there to the watchtower, he's gotten too close, right? And so the watchtower has to make sure that he sees the enemy coming in from way far. So that's what vigilance means. You have to always be vigilant in the day that we're living in, right? And then you have to know your enemy. Look what Peter says here. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. Now, I was looking at this. Very interesting the way Peter mentions it, says it here, because he says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. And you would think that a roaring lion, he's very crafty, he's very cunning, and he's very sneaky when he's trying to get his prey. However, he does get his prey that way. But you have to also realize that when a lion roars, and if he's roaring in front of his prey, that roar paralyzes them. Because he lets them know that he has dominance over that prey, and therefore it's easier for them to snatch for him to snatch his prey. So that's what Satan does. He exercises his power in that way because he constantly bombards you with all kinds of things in your head, all kinds of things out here physically, constantly bombard. He's constantly roaring. And if you are not careful, amen, you will be paralyzed by the culture of the day. Amen. And you will be deceived and gotten taken for everything that comes at you. So that's what Satan does. He is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. And the Bible says, and it continues to say, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the, I have it, I guess I missed, in the world, I think is what it says. All right. Now, sometimes it's hard to pinpoint who the enemy is. Amen? It's easy if we see a devil out there with horns and slobber coming down his face, and it's very easy. You know, anybody can say, that's a deceiver right there. But the deceiver comes in a way that you don't know that he's a deceiver, right? Amen. So just, you know, I work in the internet, on the internet, I'm always on the internet. There are several brothers here that we work together, and we're always, amen. One of the main things that we have to look at is security in the workplace, online. And it's being stressed even further in the last couple of years, more than any other time. So what they do is they'll send out like campaigns of emails to all of the employees, and it pretends like it's coming from the boss. The email's coming from the boss, and it has some sort of link. You know, hey, the boss is trying to share this file with you. You know, make sure look at it to make sure, you know, because it's a deadline that you need to meet or whatever. And you look at it, and it looks so real. I mean, the campaigns that they keep giving us more and more, they look more and more real. Richard, you probably get them. And some of us, we've fallen for some of those. We'll click on the link, and if you click on it, then you have to take a little course, you know. You have to, and it's for you, and that's your punishment, right? That's your punishment because you clicked on the link, all right? It might say your boss's name, but if you don't recall that at all, hey, what file are you talking about? What the best thing to do, they teach you, look at the email address, right? Look and see where it's coming from. Look at certain aspects of the email, right? They're training you, right? They're training you. And then the next best thing to do is actually email your boss or call him. Say, hey, did you just send me something? No, I didn't. Okay. Then this is a test. And I can just delete this, right? But, hey, It is so close that it has even deceived. I've had to do the little training two times already in the past 5 years. And I'm on the internet all the time. And so that's how deceiving it is. But they do it because they're training us. Now that's what the Lord is trying to do to us. When we have to make sure, hey, the Word says this here, the Word says this here. How do we connect this? But then this brother behind the pulpit is saying this, right? Now, you all have been here, you know, Nanny, you've been here for a long time, and you know that we've been trained well in the Word here, right? But still, you know, in the hour that we live in, because you can't let that, you can't say, well, I go to Lula and I'm well trained and I can't fall for anything. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because there are deceivers out here that are trying to deceive you spiritually, and they'll do and say whatever they can because it sounds right, it sounds good, but you have to be discerning of what's being said and compare it to the Word, compare it to the message, right? Because the Word is our absolute. So fishing is one of the things that are out there, and it's what scammers, when they send fake messages that appear to be from trusted sources, to trick you into revealing personal information like your Social Security or credit card number. And it's very, very, it works for them. That's why they keep doing it. You know, when you receive those messages on WhatsApp from somebody overseas and stuff like that, and you have not even met the person, I get them all the time. I get them, and I say, hey, brother, come, we need your ministry over here. What? I don't know you. You're talking to me like we've already met, and I don't know you. Sometimes those things lead to, hey, you might not be able to come, but can you go ahead and send us an offering for such and such? Most of the time, I just ignore those messages. And I'm sorry if they're true believers or not, but honestly, you cannot waste your time. And you really just have to be discerning, because I'm sure that they have some sort of help over there. They got a pastor. If they go to your pastor, talk to your pastor. You know, you don't know me, and I don't know you. So I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you, and that's it. But you just have to be discerning, and you can't fall for anything and everything that everybody says just under the name of the message. Or just because they have a cloud picture on their profile picture or something like that. You can't do that. And that might sound bad. That might sound, well, you don't have feelings. But I'm sorry. I got assets that I need to protect. I have a family that I need to protect. I got to protect the church. I got to protect my testimony. I got to protect all those things, you see? And I don't know you from the person, you know, out here, any other person out here in the street, even though you say you believe the message. You know, let me meet you first, right? And then maybe we can talk, but... All right, so the best scams seem the most harmless, right? Genesis 3, 1 through 6, we read when we were talking about this past Wednesday about the voices, right? The serpent, he took his time to get into Eve's head. You know, I remember Brother Dale, you know, he said it could have been years where he worked with Eve, right? And it would have been maybe 5-minute chats here and there, you know, just get Eve to the side a little bit away from Adam, you know, and just get into her head. And eventually... Amen. He lured her to think that she needed what he was offering. Right? And that is what a good scam is. It makes you think that you need what is being offered. That you need it. And that if you don't get it right now, and there's no time to wait. You have to get it right now. They put that time element in there. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. If you don't get it right now at this price, I mean, tomorrow it's going to go up. I'm telling you, you're going to, and you realize next day it's the same price, right? But the coupon says, I mean, the pop-up window came up to you when you went to Walmart.com. Get it now, you know, well, and it's all just the tactics. It's psychological, really. Selling and scamming somebody is really psychological more than anything else. They know how to get into people's head. And so the same thing is with a good preacher. Maybe he doesn't necessarily want to deceive. But in order to get people to look at his viewpoint, he has to use psychological things in order to do it. Right? He'll use the word because Satan always comes with the word. Right? 99% word. But then he'll use that little 1% psychology in there that really gets you... Praise God, hallelujah, you know, you start, you know, and then you see all the doctrines that have come up, you know, since the 80s, 90s, everybody's jumping and shouting and screaming and stuff for that man, you know, and that man, you know, he's very, yeah, you know, and people fall into that trance under the name of the message, under the name of the message. So the best scams seem the most harmless, you know. I remember one time, my wife can remember this, we were in Atlanta, and we were just walking, my wife and me, and a man comes up to us and says, hey, could I have some food? Could I have some money? Could I have some money for food? And I said, well, I don't have any money with me, and I don't remember if I did have cash with me or not, but I said, but I'll be more than glad to buy you some food. Right. I said, okay, I'll do that for anybody that asks. Now, we'll look at here something. For, if you want food, I'll buy you a food. If you need gas, I'll buy you a little bit of gas. Right. Normally, I don't have cash with me, so I don't give people normally cash. I have in the past, but I limit my amount. However, I went in the subway down there in downtown Atlanta, went in there. I said, go get you something. And I was just thinking he was just going to get a 6-inch sub, you know, something, you know, tuna, you know, something like that. He starts ordering a foot long, put this on there, he was ordering everything from the line, from he was ordering the chips and everything. And I just all I kept thinking was, you know, Lord, you said in your word, he that asks, give freely. It's what you said in your word. So maybe he needs this. He probably went and sold half of it to somebody else, one of his friends. But that's up to him. I gave him food, right? That's between him and God, what he did with the food then, right? You're only commanded, amen, to do what Jesus said in the Word. You know, I had a friend one time in Greenville. He went through a Burger King parking lot, and the guy was asking for food. And he said, I'll come in here and buy you a burger. He said, no, I don't want that one. That's too greasy. Beggars can't be choosers. That means he didn't really want the food. He wanted to see if he could get something else. So you, but you know that's how it is. There was a verse here that I wanted to look at. I think it's later on. But now the best scams seem the most harmless. In Matthew 24:24 says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show you great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." My. This was Jesus' own words.
Right.
That if it was possible, this thing would be so close that it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. That's why we have to be very, very discerning, amen, what's going on in our day, amen, around the world, amen. You have to be, don't take things for face value.
Right.
There are men out there really trying to deceive. Politically, spiritually, amen. They might just look like exactly what you want to hear, but you don't know what's behind that person's intentions,
right?
He might have said, "Hey, I'm going to change this. I'm going to change it." And he said it in 2016. Nothing happened. What would make you think that he would change things now?
Just saying.
All right. There's a woman that is a candidate right now who's saying, "Hey, I'll change this for you." But she's had 4 years to change it.
Right.
Why won't they change it now? Right? Just looking at it politically. Okay? Be discerning. Right? Because these people have alliances with other countries, with other entities. And they are looking to fill their pockets.
Right.
That's one thing. But they also have agendas to push. Right? So be discerning. They're saying that this election season, I'm not trying to be political, but what I'm saying is this election season could be the last one that we'll ever see. Even Trump said that. I don't know why he said it, but who knows what they got in store. And Christians are falling for it head over heels, like he's the Messiah. They talk about the golden age, that he's a Messiah. So you just be careful. Be careful. Be discerning. Be very, very discerning. I'm not trying to tell you who to vote for or not to vote for, but this is coming up on Tuesday, right? But you be discerning, right? If you think voting makes a difference, that's fine. Be discerning, right? Be discerning. That's all I'm going to say. Just be discerning. Because look into the man. That's all I'm going to say. Look into his background. So, just as phishing attempts look genuine to lure victims, spiritual deceptions often seem attractive and plausible. Spiritual deceptions. They seem, they make sense. Yeah, what they're saying. In the middle of the rah, 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 you don't think. Because everybody's rah, 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 rah. That means it must be right. But that's not how it goes. That's not how it is. Right? You have to know the word for yourself. You have to know the situation for yourself. The cost of falling for deception. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to move a little quickly. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Why does Paul say your minds? Because when the serpent came to Eve, he didn't force her to do what he did. He got into her mind first.
Right?
That's a good deceiver. He's going to get into your mind first. He's not going to force you. He's going to talk to you. He's going to make sure he works with you. He's going to massage that he's trying to, as much as he can so that you feel so relaxed. This can't possibly be bad. Oh. And then he'll get you right after. Just like physical or internet scams, like the serpent's half-truths to Eve, they lure with false promises and can lead to serious consequences. And then you're wondering, what in the world just happened?
Right.
Yeah. They massaged you. You got massaged by the devil. All right? Now, this is where I was talking about. Jesus said give. That's up to you if you want to obey what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 5:42, "Give to him that asketh thee." Period. right? And from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. But there's a caveat here, because you don't see the person behind online. You don't know the person that's trying to reach you. You don't know that person.
Right.
So you're not bound. You don't need to give anybody any money that asks online. You have never met this person. You have never seen this person. But a person that comes to you physically, you see it and asks, hey, can I have a dollar? You know, they might be lying, and they probably are. But Jesus said, give to him that asketh thee. Now, sometimes what I do is I start talking to them. Like, hey, so what made you, I was talking to a girl one time in a parking lot in Atlanta. She was asking for money. And just talking with her, talking about things of the Lord, that's an opportunity for you to witness.
Right.
Hey, you want my money? You want then you'll hear about the Lord for a little bit. Yeah. That you, sometimes we say, leave them alone. They're just scammers. They're just a. But the opportunity. Maybe the Lord is doing that opportunity so that that person might need the gospel. You know. Then, hey, you listen to me for a little while, I'll give you, a couple of bucks, whatever. But what you do with it, that's between you and God.
That's right.
Right?
Exactly.
But some people are like, no, absolutely not. I will not give anybody. I know what they are. They're going to go smoke weed with it. They're going to go. You just follow what Jesus said and let the Lord do the rest.
Exactly.
That Jesus said, give to him that asketh thee.
Right.
It does not say that. It says that. All right, so if a random person asks me personally for help, I give with reason, within reason. Now they're gonna ask me for $10,000. You know, I'm not gonna give them $10,000, right? Right. But the person online that's asking for that amount, then you give them that amount. That's totally different. You see, that's foolish. We wouldn't do that physically. Why would we do it online? You see. So this verse doesn't apply to anyone online that you don't know asking for money, right? You know, so sometimes people ask, hey, can I have a little bit of gas? Now, there's the ones out there, they're out there with the cardboard, and say, I'm hard times, you know. I normally don't give people them because they're not asking me personally. They're just out there for anybody to, and... I have my reasons, look, there's Mexicans that come to this country and they find jobs for you to be out there. You're an American citizen. You have sources, resources. These people come from other countries. They got work. They can come and work. They find jobs easily. Why can't you? You see? So that's just what I'm going to say about that. I'm very strong. Yeah, it's my wife. I just can't. The ones with the cardboards, those are scammers. I mean, my wife, but she'd tell you, there was a one in a lady in Toronto that would do the same thing, Toronto, Canada. And come to find out, I mean, they'll follow these people back for their sources. They're driving Mercedes. They got nice penthouses. And that was the same with this lady in Toronto. Lady out there in the streets, you know. But they take turns. They have shifts. They do this all together. It's a scam. Don't fall for it. So building a strong defense is really, really one of the things that we should start doing. Putting on the full armor of God, right? I know we're dealing a lot with the physical things, but if you see it in the physical, it ties in with the spiritual. The natural ties in with the spiritual, you see? Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, and then I got here, just as we install antivirus software, or things to protect our computers, we need the armor of God as spiritual defense, right? With each piece strengthening our discernment and resilience against worldly influences. So if we want to protect our computers or our phones or things like that from those things, how much more our souls, right? How much more our souls from... We need to put on the whole armor of God, right? And so the power of knowledge and wisdom, amen. Hosea 4:6 says... My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they don't get in the word, right? Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. This is the Lord saying this. So Scams often exploit a lack of knowledge. Because you don't know and you don't understand, you fall for it much easier. So it's good. It behooves us for us to study, right? Just like I'm online all the time. I have to study and see what the latest scams are and what's going on out there, right? Because I have assets to protect, right? I have things that I need to protect. And so the need for godly wisdom and knowledge of Scripture to prevent spiritual deception is a must, just as internet safety education helps us to avoid fraud. Amen. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Internet scams prey on our fears, desires, and goodwill, reminding us to guard our hearts by letting faith and wisdom rather than fear or urgency guide our actions. Amen. And that's where the scammers like to make it urgent. Amen. And we fall prey for that. So we also, and I believe this is being wise stewards of our resources. Proverbs 3:9 says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." Amen. We're called, amen, to protect, amen, what God has given us, right? For us to just easily fall prey for anything that the devil brings in our lives, right? The devil is out there to try to steal, kill, and destroy, right? And he'll use whatever person, whatever individual to do it, right? But we're called to be wise stewards of our money, our time, and our relationships. Amen. And recognizing that our resources are gifts from God to be used wisely. So it's okay for you to say no to that WhatsApp message. Don't think you can. I'm sorry, just delete it. I don't know you. I'm sorry. You might be a brother in Christ. Just delete it. Right? Delete it. Unless you're sure you definitely know that person, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know their pastor, you know, and then maybe you can consider it. But then at that point, consider with reason. Right. Brother Branham says this, and with this, musicians come up. Many are like Eve. Eve just stopped long enough to be deceived. She stopped long enough to be deceived. If she hadn't have stopped, there have never been no deceiving. But Eve stopped. And when she stopped, there's where she got her deceiving instead of pressing on. You stopped. You stopped and listened to the devil's lie and listened to what he had to say. See, to the devil, you can't listen to him.
Right?
Right? You can't listen to him because he's lying. He's saying truth, but at the same time mixing it with lies. And you can't stop and listen to him at all. So that's what Eve should have done. She should have recognized. She should have recognized that this can't be from God because it's going against what God had already originally told us. Therefore, that knowledge would have been able to stop the incident, but she didn't follow through. And therefore, what happened. So God bless you all. Let's be discerning, especially in this coming year, if we're still here. Let's be discerning because we have to be in this hour. God bless you all.